We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Now, here's a little story I got to tell.
Welcome back. I hope everything is on the gravy with you all. It's good to be back. It's good to have another sit down and shoot the breeze. I'm in a new setup, a new fresh setup, nice and cozy, a cushioned seat. And I wanted to share a little bit of what's been on my heart. And if anybody is interested, you can go to the website, go to the blog section, and you'll find the inspiration behind this talk. And if this is your first time stumbling across the show, this is Giants Amongst Us, where we share in the unique human experience and where you're going to hear real stories told by real people, people just like yourself. You're not going to get clued in on the Hollywood squares or the latest gossip. We don't care about what Taylor Swift tweeted last night or who Brad Pitt is marrying next weekend. None of these influencers or supposed stars of any concern to us. This isn't about that. This is about the everyday people. People just like yourself. If you want to call them ordinary, go ahead and do so. But they're doing extraordinary things. And what I mean by extraordinary is the fact that these individuals, just go to the website, listen to past stories. These people have, in one way, shape, or form, taking responsibility and accountability for their life's experiences. They come from struggle, from pain, from challenges, handicaps, addictions, but they decided at one point to start changing their belief structure, their lifestyle, their habits, their way of viewing the world, and limit the limitations and doubts that they were putting on themselves to push past the hurt, the failure, the abuse, and the work towards finding healing, getting a hold of hope, being resilient, and finding a way to make the best of their situation and just become better people in general. When you change your inner reality, that's the perfect fertile ground for things to start changing outside and around you. Your relationships with people, how you interact with the world, how you're able to navigate through the world and not be overwhelmed and just beaten down by outside pressures and stresses and anxieties and fears and worries. But when you're deep down inside solid, you have your roots grounded and deep in the earth, you can stand tall like an oak tree and withstand the storms, the rain, the wind, whatever's thrown your way. How deep is that root of yours? So sometimes, you know, when life tears us apart, we hit a crisis, we have a breakdown, we hit rock bottom. That's the perfect opportunity to, like some of these politicians say, build back better. When the tower is destroyed, when everything is rubble, that's when you can build anew. You can start picking up the pieces and putting it together in a more constructive fashion and build a nice, proper foundation. You know, I just wanted to share some thoughts, and this is something that I planned to do, was to just share ideas, things that weigh on my heart, convictions that I may have, and pepper them in between the stories. I've already had a few interesting conversations, and I look to publish them in the next upcoming weeks. I look forward to sharing them with you guys. You can, like I said, if this is your first time listening, you can go back and check through the archives and listen to past stories. But I'm excited to have a few more interviews lined up, and I think you guys will find some value in it. I know I enjoyed having those conversations, and each one is a learning experience for me. And each one, I'm encouraged more and more to dig down and do my own inner work. And it's not about trying to become holy or righteous or anything like that, but it's just about getting in touch with who I truly am, outside of the pressures, outside of persuasion and manipulation. Because let's face it, this digital age, We have advertisements. We have so many things that can nudge us this way and pull us that way. And if we're not solid and sure about who we are as an individual, if we don't know ourselves, there's a group that's going to tell you who you are. There's another group that's going to tell you how you should live. There's another group that's going to tell you how you should think. And you're just like a leaf blowing in the wind, unsure. And every little thing that is happening, a loss of a job, loss of money, any little monkey wrench that twists up your world, the smallest or the biggest, is going to shake you, break you, and just devastate you. But if we're sure in ourselves and we're understanding who we are, what we're capable of, we're confident, and we have the resources to deal with life when life happens, and we're not just always on the defensive and reacting to this and reacting to that, but we're actually living, we're able to see things for what they are, we're able to learn from our mistakes, we're able to think things through critically and not to just be affected by a headline or something that's trending, and let's just say giving away our power and our individual freedom to live a life that is more self-sufficient, to live a life that is balanced, a loving and more fulfilled life. So this whole idea, the podcast, the show, and the connections shared, it's getting back to that human element, because if we're not careful, we can lose it, especially with all of the advancements in technology, and everything is becoming more and more digitalized, and we're being encouraged to pursue a virtual reality, and some people are fine with that because they're not happy with the real world. They're trying to escape it. They're not happy with themselves. Something isn't right in them. And you can make up a fantasy island and plug yourself right into some kind of virtual reality and live out your fantasies and escape what's really going on in the real world. So if we're not careful with all the wonderful advances in technology, the way that right now I'm able to just press record, speak through this microphone and upload it, and after uploading it and putting it into the cloud, throwing it out into the ether, and anybody with internet access, no matter where they are, east, west, north, south, overseas, on a big hill, low hill, they're under a rock in a cave, if they have internet access, they can listen to this, we can connect, they can get in touch with me and I with them. That is magic in itself. The advances in technology, the leaps and bounds that have been taken with medicine. But if we're not careful, this can also draw us away from the human nature, our human nature. And that's a slippery slope, because then we start to lose touch of who we are as people, as human beings with souls, with spirits, with emotions, with intuition, with creative abilities, with creative imaginations, all of that. Logic, reason, critical thinking, these are ingredients that make us human beings. The ability to love, to care, to think empathetically, to reflect. If we're not careful, we can outsource all of those abilities to a device that we think can do it better than we can do it for ourselves. It's funny because you hear people, and I say it sometimes myself, like, man, everything is being manufactured and outsourced to China or outside of the country. Let's just say if you're living in the US or if you're living in Germany, nothing's made in Germany anymore. Everything is made. You look at the label, it's coming from this country or that country. And people complain like, yeah, the jobs are being outsourced and the manufacturing companies are being outsourced and the businesses are being outsourced. That's on an economic scale or level or an economic landscape. But think about it. We're outsourcing our human capabilities and our humanity to a device. When we don't know the answer to something, bam, go ahead, just Google it. Something's wrong with your stomach, bam, just go ahead and Google it. I don't know what to do with my kid. He's up and down. He's bouncing off the walls. Bam, just go ahead and Google it. They have an app and it'll tell you when you need to start moving again because you've been sitting down for too long. We're outsourcing all of these things that make us human to a device, to this smartphone or a smart device that's supposed to be, that they say is smarter than you. It's more capable than you. If you believe that, there's a stickers that I'm sure you guys are familiar with. It says dumb people with smartphones. And that's the whole point of it. You know, where the algorithm is going to supposedly be able to do all these things that we used to be able to do. Primitive man, days of old in ancient times, were really in touch and in tune with nature, with themselves, with the stars, with the seasons, with all of that. But this new advancement in technology, they're saying, these thinking heads and these developers and these technocrats are saying that the AI gods, this algorithm, I mean, we do in a way bend down backwards for it, to please it, to do anything, to boost our ratings, to put us in front of all the other videos, to give us more likes, to get us more engagement. Whatever it is that's supposedly helping your content get pushed up by the algorithms you're willing to do, even if it's something that doesn't really sit right with you or you don't agree with it, but just for the sake of the algorithms are going to push it and put it at the top. I'll go ahead and speak about this or make content about that. I mean, who wants to be talking to an empty auditorium? But yeah, like I was saying, these wizards of Oz behind the curtains are saying that the algorithm, that we're going to get to a point, if we're not already now, are going to know you more than you know yourself.
The central idea of this new worldview, which you can call dataism because it invests authority in data, the central tenet is that given enough data, especially biometric data about a person, and given enough computing power, Google or Facebook can create an algorithm that knows you better than you know yourself.
But I still think we have a choice. We can allow that to happen. We can fall in line and outsource all of our capabilities, all of our humanity to this wonderful, shiny object that can do all things, that knows all things, that knows my behaviors, knows what I like, what I don't like, knows even what I think and what I feel about things, and it knows what makes me angry and what triggers me and what causes me to react and engage more with whatever platform I'm on. Or we can get back in touch with the real. This is just something that I've been thinking about, and I wanted to speak a little bit about it, and let me know how you feel about it. Let me know what you think about these things. If you agree, if you disagree, what's your take on it? Like I said, the website link is in the show notes. You can shoot a line there. You can leave a message, a voice message, or leave a comment. Any feedback is always welcome. Even if you just want to say hello or let me know where you're listening from, how you're listening to the show, that's cool too. This topic, this was something, one of the last conversations that I had. I'll be sharing that episode in the next up and coming weeks. But we were talking about that also, and just the use of technology and how, yes, it's a great tool. It's a wonderful tool, but it also can be abused, misused, and really, really, really take us away from who we are as individuals, as human beings, as living human conscious sentient beings. And I think it might even be fair to say that a lot of people listening to this show, you know, they're still interested in that human element, exploring their thoughts or their unconscious, because I've spoken with people and they talk about how valuable it was for them for journaling, writing out their thoughts, meditating and reflecting on how they feel and why they do certain things, why they're feeling a certain way, what's troubling them. And this is something that I'm still exploring and working on, and it'll be a lifelong journey. But I think it's important. I think it's important. I mean, it's evident. Look around and even look at yourselves. It's evident that so many people are struggling mentally. Is it because we're living now in the age of anxiety? But if you think back to even past times, they had their own stresses and they had their own worries and they had their own pressures from external chaos, the chaotic environment, the witch hunts, the religious wars, one country invading another. You had slavery. You had horrible working conditions. You had unequal opportunity for men and women. You had all of these things in different times and in different places and in different ages where people had their anxieties, they had their worries. Even old philosophers and psychotherapists hundreds of years ago in the 1800s, the early 1900s, still write about this sickness, this illness in society, these neuroses, the struggling inner conflict that we deal with as human beings, and the different ways that we try to compensate for it, the different ways that we try to cope with it. But there's a time where it reaches the surface and it makes itself known. And we might experience that in sickness. We might experience that in our bodies deteriorating, our health deteriorating, being crippled by anxiety, fears, and all these different schizophrenic episodes, the manic depressive episodes, and all these different symptoms, somatic symptoms or mental disorders that stem from that inner conflict or that inner struggle and turmoil that's going on that we haven't looked at, that we haven't tried to work out. Sometimes we don't know how. What's encouraging to see now is that a lot of people are talking about it. Not just the women. It's not just a feminine topic where, oh, you're not meant to be talking about your feelings or your emotions when you're a man. But you hear that even from men. Men that have been in combat, men that have been in prison, men that have worked hard jobs, went, raised families, just men in general, also talking about their mental health, their emotions, things that they go through. So this is across the board. And I kind of went on a huge rant, but so this is just a call back to those who feel like they're getting pulled away. They're getting pulled away from who they are as people. As a kid, you're innocent. You're like an empty slate in a way. But then slowly, through education, through society, through friends, through family, through strangers, through work, through organizations, through clubs, whatever it is, little by little, you're being impressed and sometimes told what you're capable of, what you can do, what you shouldn't do, what you should strive for, what line of work you should fall in. But where does that leave us? In the midst of all of that, who are we? Have we given ourselves that opportunity, that time to explore, to figure it out? It's tough. It's tough. And then we find ourselves trying to be something that we see maybe on TV as, oh, that's success. That's what I want to do. There are times where something resonates with you. You see someone and they're a role model. They're a mentor. You see someone and you look up to them and you say, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. But the point is to get real with yourself, get honest with yourself, and entertain those questions and those thoughts and reflect on what it is that you truly like. What it is that you believe in, what it is that you find honest and truthful and good, despite what they're saying, despite what this clique is saying or what they're telling you to believe, despite all of the outside pressure. And I was saying that to say that a good way to start off is to afford yourself that silent space, that sacred silent space in an age of distraction. How crucial and critical is that? How much does that mean to you? Does it even matter? This is a new world. It's not a conspiracy. This isn't something that might be. This is the new world. This is the fourth industrial revolution.
The future is already here. The future has begun. Why this fourth industrial revolution is so crucial? It's coming like a tsunami. Opportunities which we have in the coming years, it will be overwhelming to see how fast the change will happen in an exponential speed.
This is the digital age. And in this new world, like I said, for all the great that technology has brought upon all of us, we're able to enjoy it in a lot of different ways. The instant access to so much information, but it could be the case of information overload. We have so much information, we can't even, our minds and our conscience selves aren't even meant to process this much information. But in this new world, this brave new world, if you want to call it, this digital age, our silence, that sacred space of silence, is being swallowed by technology. It's being eaten alive and in the belly of the highest bidder. That's a fact. This is the attention economy. Our data, our personal information, feeding the algorithms every second, every minute, every hour. That's the new gold.
Let me ask you a question about XAI and what you're doing. And because there's an interesting thing that's different, I think, about what you have relative to some of the others, which is you have data, you have information, you have all of the stuff that everybody in here has put on the platform to sort through. And I don't know if everybody realized that initially. What is the value of that?
Yeah, I mean, data is very important. You could say data is probably more valuable than gold.
Silence. I'm worlds away from where I came from. And I could say one thing. The beauty about it is, you know, I've been out of the country. I'm originally from California. I've lived in Germany for the past 6 years. And I mean, I've pretty much just been to myself. It's my wife. She has family when they come over and visit. I have colleagues at work that I associate with, but not much outside of that. It's really just family time. I'm here, so I've had a lot of time to spend away from my old environment, old friends, family, whom I miss. But honestly, there was a lot of people in my life, excluding family. I'm talking about just people that I spent time with that were not in the best of place and not the best of influences on me. So in one way, separating from that environment and having the time and the space to be alone, I think has been a real positive thing. And also, of course, to have a loving, patient, and understanding wife and partner by your side, that helps all the more. You give me 9 miserable people that you're hanging around, and you're probably going to be the 10th. So I've had time, you know, away from my natural habitat. But that doesn't say, you know, like I said, away from that, but still with technology. Confine yourself just doomsday scrolling or spending time online and checking to see what this person's doing or what that person is doing or how they're living. And even though you may be separated from, let's just say, your old environment, old friends, or whatever it is, but you still have the opportunity because of that ball and chain, that smartphone, that Android, that iPhone, whatever it is, you still have it in your pocket, you still have it on your hand, you still have it at the hip, it's on your person at all times, and you can just stay on the screen and just days and days and days till you're confused and in a haze. And that is a good way to have some time in solitude by ourselves snatched away from us. That's a good way to give it up. And I say that because I've been there. And I'm trying to just be more conscious on the things that I'm consuming, what I'm filling my mind with, not just my physical diet, but also my mental diet. Is it junk food? Is it good for me? I mean, of course, I'm not just saying that everything has to be on the higher learning tip and it's got to be about enlightenment, but what are you spending the majority of your time consuming and most of your energy towards? What are you giving that to? What are you allowing to influence or fill your life, your conscience? What is it? Remember that old saying, you are what you eat. So this silence, this solitude, away from the world's pull or the demands and the stresses of the day or your Instagram feed, that's the very solitude Ralph Emerson spoke of when he said, it's there where you'll be able to hear the whispers of the gods. How many of you ever heard the whispers of the gods? Some kind of aha moment, an epiphany, a revelation, a tugging at your heart, or even just some kind of soft conviction to pursue something, an answer to a problem, any of that. How important is your silence? How important is silence and solitude to you? Even the World Health Organization, the WHO, as slimy and as snaky as they've proven to be, they argue that excessive noise is a serious threat to human health. And we're not just talking about car traffic or airplanes flying overhead, but we're talking about excessive noise. Excessive stimuli, all of this chatter and this buzzing, this information overload that I talked about, being bombarded by advertisements, by products, by brands, by things that you should buy, by trends that are trending, by fears or the latest headline or the next news break. Remember at one time when I was younger, the news came on once a day or twice, and that was in the evening, in the afternoon. Now, all day, every day. As long as you're staring at that screen, you're getting breaking news. What to be afraid of? Who's warring against who? How high gas prices are? The protests? What virus is out to get you? Man, the boogeyman that is out to get you. I'm not saying whether these things are real or not real. That's up to you to decide. But talk about excessive noise on a daily basis, all day, every day, from when you wake up to right before you shut your eyelids and go to sleep. What is that doing to us? As humans, we're not capable. We're not built to consume and process so much information. But yet this very structure, modern society, this new age that we're living in, the fourth industrial revolution, this idea of being connected at all times, and we don't even just want you carrying the device anymore. You can wear it or you can put it under your skin. That's even better. How convenient is that? This structure, this infrastructure has created a vacuum that is sucking the silence right out of us. Our attention, it's being robbed and held hostage. How many of you are looking to get it back? I know I am. We don't even like to be alone anymore. It's boring, isn't it? I mean, who wants to be alone? It can make you feel some type of way. Lonely, afraid, vulnerable, and even crazy. Some people might say, don't you have any friends? But if we go back a little bit to the great figures of the past, let's just rewind the clock a bit. Some of these great figures that were so quick to talk about or reference or look up to and say, man, this was a righteous person. They knew it all. They had the answers. They had the key. Some of them even looked to these people for guidance and to try to replicate their footsteps and their lifestyle and their philosophy. They reached that legendary status after long stretches in solitude, like Jesus, for one. Whether you take him to be an actual man or a story that's symbolic of something else, that's up to you. But Jesus, was led by the Holy Spirit through the wilderness, tempted by the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And it was in that silence, in solitude, away from everything, away from the religious people, from the heathen, from all of that, from the temples. It was in that silence and solitude where he found his strength and became his message, which was salvation in the flesh. Or what about the story of Siddhartha, his quest for enlightenment? After putting his body through all types of torment, sleeping on thorns, starving himself and fasting, it was only years later where he found that quiet spot in silence, sitting underneath the Bodhi tree, the tree of enlightenment, and meditating there, reflecting there, being present and in the moment there. It was then where he found his clarity and seeing life for what it truly was and is. For some cultures, a journey in solitude, that was an important part of the rite of passage through which an adolescent boy then became a grown, mature man. He had to hunt, he had to forage, protect himself from the beasts of the jungle, and he had to face his fears alone. Into the unknown and into the darkness he went. And those who were successful, those who made it out alive, were the ones that were accepted back into the community as worthy men. There's a healing power found in solitude. And there's also a creative power that comes from silence. In darkness, that quietness, that stillness. Darkness, that's the sound of silence. In most stories and myths about creation, it's from our darkness that light comes and life begins to spring forth. Life begins to happen. Things start to form, they breathe, grow, move, and start being. It's that creative force. In the beginning, the book of Genesis says, going back to the Bible, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Before creation even happened, things were formless, empty, and in darkness. And the Hindu creation story, we can go back to that. It begins with the universe in chaos and in darkness. And from that darkness comes the God of Brahma, rolling up his sleeves, and he starts to create, separating the elements of the earth, wind, fire, water, spirit. And there you have it. Interesting. The fact that there seems to be a collective understanding from our ancestors, cultures of the past, and even people now about the importance of solitude, being alone with self. From out of the darkness comes the light. Considering some of these things, isn't it very curious that modern society in all of its tentacles is fixed on capturing our minds, our time, our energy? And that is the whole idea and the concept, the philosophy behind the business of this attention economy. Keeping you captivated at all times. We want you interacting and engaging and stuck on this, and you spending more and more time on this platform, engaging with this app, than you are with yourself, with the real world, and with the people in your life that means something, or just engaging in the world that's happening outside and off the screen. Isn't it curious that society nowadays is fixated on keeping us locked in this virtual reality? I don't mean to come off preachy or anything like that, or as if I'm on a soapbox. I'm trying to be conscious about it. I'm trying to be mindful about it. And I'm not trying to be consumed or lose myself in the process. It's not to say that this is evil or you should spend more time doing this rather than that. Who am I? I'm just a man on a mission with the one-way ticket, you know? Because at the end, it's always going to be up to me or you on how we want to play or move in this dance and show we call life. You know, I just decided to sit down, shoot the breeze, and share a few thoughts between the stories and talk a little bit about how we might have some great things waiting for us. Realizations, transformations, something potent, long-lasting. I'm talking about worth more than a big car with big wheels or a big house on a big hill or 1,000 likes under your next Instagram post or your YouTube video. Something more potent, special, and on top of all of that. But that's if we allow ourselves the time and the space and solitude away from the outside buzz so that we can one day too hear the whispers of the gods. You guys, we're going to catch up real soon. You stay safe out there. You stay sane. Till next time, and very soon, peace. Do-wop, 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 do-do, do-wop, do-wop. Looking for a sign to know I'm on the right road. Ain't seen no signs since Jericho.